We'll be in Philippians 2. That's Philippians 2. Verse 12 through 13. Wherefore, my brother, as ye have always obeyed, but not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation, and with fear and trembling. For it is God which worked in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come today in your presence, thanking you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that it's just here and that it's just within each and every one of us, Lord, that it's just that fire burning in our hearts. God, I pray that this message that you've laid on my heart to preach today and teach on, Lord, I pray that you just give me the strength, God, and the words that come out of my mouth, it just reaches out there. It grabs the hearts who are listening today, and that it just shakes and rattles them, and that they come out and they realize what salvation is and how important it is to have in our life. God, I pray this message just reaches out. God, I pray over those that are prayerless, those that have experiencing loss, God, and it's devastating to lose loved ones. God, we lift them up to you. Some of us can feel that sting even today of losing people close to us. Their memories will stay with us for a lifetime. It will carry them on, but Lord, let's lift them memories up to you, God. Never let those memories drag us down into a sea of negativity. For we're supposed to have that joy in you throughout our lives. We're supposed to have that Jesus over us. Our life is supposed to be focused on you. Our contentment's to be through you, not what we can gain in this world through our own desires and selfishness. No, Lord, our gain should be through you and the cross alone, God. Our eyes to be firmly fixed on you as we press through this world. And when the trials and tribulations rise, we just endure and bear and move on. Although they rattle us, Lord, let's keep our eyes firmly focused on you. God, I pray over those that may be experiencing sickness, sinuses. Lord, God, we lift that up to you, God. We pray for those there that today they may not truly be yours, God. We pray, Lord, through this message, they just open their hearts to the message and they realize things have to change. The direction of their life has to change. The projection of their life has to change to point to you and the cross, God. I pray once again that you just guide and you direct this message that it reaches to whoever needs to hear it today, God. It uplifts the heart, it motivates the spirit, it enlightens the soul, it creates a fire and a passion within our souls to go out there and to reach others. That's the goal, is to go out there and to reach others with the gospel. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You know, when we look at these set of passages, and every time when I look and I'm studying, even just a few verses, and I hope you guys are doing the same thing when you're looking at a chapter in a book and you're looking at verse by verse, you're pouring your heart out into it. You're looking at them and you say, Holy Spirit, what is going on here? What is Paul saying here? And through the Holy Spirit moving in his life, what was going on? And the message then is the message today. And we pour and we pray and we travail over the Scripture and we ask for that direction in our life to understand what the Word of God is saying. And when we look at these passages today, of course, Philippians was one of those prison epistles. Paul was in prison writing these letters that were going out. So he was locked away, but he's writing these words. And that, to me, that's encouraging. You can imagine being locked into a prison and still writing words that are encouraging. Your freedom is stripped away, and you're still able to write encouragement. Because why? Because he had the Holy Spirit living inside of him. Even though they may throw us in a dungeon or take away our freedom, they cannot take away the Holy Spirit that's inside us, that gives us strength to endure to the end. And that is what we should cling to, right? And when we look, and the title of this message today is basically, do you know my Jesus? Do you know my Jesus? I hope everybody here knows my Jesus, because he's the Jesus of the Bible. He is the biblical Bible Jesus, not what this world proclaims as a false Jesus, not how this progressive Christianity has... There's a dog over there just went by. But that is the biblical Jesus of the Bible. You got to understand today, even in our, I'm fully exposed, right? I put messages online, and there's many preachers in the community and in Louisiana. They don't like me. You may know some personally that will say bad things about me. But I have encountered them. I have questioned them. I have messaged them. Prove me wrong. And they're like, oh, they don't ever respond back. Why? Because they want to speak bad about a man of God because I'm standing on the truth, and they want to talk to others, influence them. We have to be very careful of that attitude, because the truth that's going out is not what the true biblical text is. It is a alternative text, is a lukewarm text, is their agenda. It's their counter text to the Bible. It's not the Word of God that they're truly standing on. They're using it as a byproduct. So we have to be very in tune with the Word of God. We need to be very in tune with prayer and with that daily walk with God. And when somebody comes up and say, you know that guy you got up there in the pulpit? He ain't preaching the gospel. Well, then you see, what's your opinion? That's your opinion. Tell me what he is saying. And then counter that with scripture. Well, you know, I just don't like him. Well, your opinion and your dislike of me, I could care less. Show me what it says in the Bible that I am doing wrong, and then correct me. Your opinion doesn't matter. Because you want to preach a alternative message, a lukewarm message, and I'm good, and you want to support that, and then you want to attack men like me that stand on the Word of God, then you are preaching a different narrative that's anti-God. So when we look at the Scriptures today, do you know my Jesus? Do you know my Jesus? When we look at the Scripture, verse 12, I want to pull out that last part of 12, or that little part there, it says, work out your own salvation. To work out your own salvation. What does it mean to work out your own salvation? Well, you know, I thought it'd say a gift of God. Why do I have to work it out? And yes, it is. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, for by grace are we saved. Through grace we are saved. Not of ourselves, through faith, not of ourselves, is a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God, not of works. Lest ye, the King James said, ye, at least any man should boast, so we should boast. The work on the cross, right? John 3, 16, 17 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish. They shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
God sent His only Son, His only begotten Son to this world. Man, we were talking in Sunday Bible training, discipleship. And, you know, this year's almost over with, right? We're in October. Where did January go, right? Just kind of like that. For you know it, it will be Thanksgiving and Christmas. And on the take of Christmas, you know, you will get that, well, Jesus was not born on Christmas. You know, it was, okay, I understand the arguments there. Oh, Christmas is pagan. I understand the arguments there. But I always stand on this premises. This is a day in our, well, it used to be a day in our nation as we collectively gather together on Christmas to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Yes, we shouldn't be doing it on one day. I get that. We're supposed to celebrate His birth every day. I understand that. I understand the arguments, but this is a day that we collectively gather as a nation, or should, especially as church, to collectively praise in one all nominations that are truly preaching, are truly focusing on the birth, the true Jesus Christ. He came down to this world as a child born to a Virgin Mary. In some churches, so we don't want to talk about the Virgin Mary's birth. That couldn't have happened. I'll tell you, our God can do whatever He wants because He is God and we are not. He created the world. He hung the stars. He stretched the universe. You ever did a study of how the universe is, how vast it is, how much we don't even know? It stretches millions and millions, stars, planets, stuff we don't even know. He stretched that. Our God, His beauty, the greatest artist that you will ever know, stretched the beautiful painting. If you look at the human body, anatomy, I took anatomy classes in college. Man, it's amazing how our body operates, how the blood pumps just right, and how our system just, it's amazing. How could that just happen like that? No, we were created. We were designed, and we're beautiful. Every time we look in the mirror, we can look at a creation, at God creating the human body and the systems, right? And man, it's just amazing. But we get Christmas time and that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. You see, when we look at the birth of Jesus Christ was a real person. Most today historians will say, even the ones that are anti-God, Jesus really exists. The one that is proclaimed in the Bible, He was a man. He walked. He done great things. He was a man that could teach. He was. He could preach. He had a way with people. He exists. You said one time they would say He didn't exist, but then they say, well, but then when it comes to this supernatural, like a virgin birth, that's impossible. When it comes to all this healing, that is impossible. I want to tell you, nothing is impossible with our God. Nothing was impossible with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was fully God and fully man. I don't even know how to explain that because our little minds, I don't care how many PhDs or MDs you have at your name or how educated you think you are, it truly to grasp that concept is beyond our human capacity. I can try to explain it as much as I can, but in reality, words will fail when we try to understand the Trinity. When you try to understand God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, it does exist. We have a hard time grasping that. But Jesus Christ came. And that part the historians will not say, oh, he was not the Son of God. That's impossible. I'll tell you he was the Son of God. Why? Because the Word of God tells us in John 3:16 and a bunch of other scriptures. He was and is the Son of God. Never ceased to be. And when he stepped on sight as a child and grew and his ministry began, why did Jesus have to come? Why did Jesus have to come to this world? It was prophesied all the way starting at Genesis 3:15 where it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." That was the first prophetic promise of the coming Messiah. You see, Adam and Eve, they were the first humans to know what it was like to live a life with no pain, no suffering, perfect environment. The animals were in unity. They did not want for nothing. They were the ones that taste of that. But Satan comes along. He is able to cause deception among Eve and Adam. They allow Satan to manipulate them. To take what God called good and to twist it. He does that today. You see that today just looking at the marriage. It's been under attack for a lot of years now. Probably before I was even born. Probably. But of course it was attacked at the very beginning. But I'm talking about specifically here in America. Because Adam and Eve, they were married in God's eyes. When you look at the agenda, if you look at the Satanist clubs and the temple, they have said this. Family is enemy number one. Why? Because a true family, a true unit, man and woman in unity under God's eyes is beautiful, and Satan hates it. Why do you think the LGBT, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, queer, why they are corrupting marriage by saying it's okay for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman, and that's okay, and we want you guys to accept it. I want you preachers up there to shut up. We want to pass stuff in our legislation today. They're trying to pass stuff that would consider this hate speech while I'm preaching right now. If you don't believe me, it already happens in Canada. I can get up here and preach if I was in Canada, preach what I'm preaching right now, and before I could finish my message or walk out them doors, I probably would be restrained and thrown in jail. Don't think that's not a far reach what can happen here in America. Only good thing about that is when it does happen, you're going to really be able to see who is truly standing on the Word of God. Because at that point of time, it's going to get real. Those guys in the pulpit that are not wanting to talk about these issues, you watch them. You watch them. And you remember what I'm saying today. You see them not want to talk about homosexuality, and that is, of course, a sin like any other sin. Adultery, fornication, it's all sin. That's just the new slice of bread sin that they're using to try to restrain the voice of God today in America. You watch these preachers. If they compromise, they don't stand on marriage, do not listen to a word they have to say. Why? Because they are countering against the Word of God. Now you will make that choice to follow them, but I'm telling you, if you choose to follow them after they refuse to stand on the word of God and compromise, then you are following men that are false. They are false. You choose to follow them, then you're following them straight to that pit of hell. You make that choice. That will come one day. Mark my words. Amen. You will see them. They already compromised on a lot of other things. This is just going to be one little step for them. It's a good way to understand the false from the true. It's about the only thing good that will come out, of course, that will also, all this has to take place for Jesus to come back. So that's the ultimate thing. But at the very beginning, God said, because y'all sinned, Adam and Eve, against me, now I have to kick you out of this paradise I created. Now I have to implement this curse on this world. And that's why we have this suffering. That's why we have this pain. And that's why we have this bad weather. And that's why we lose people. That's why we lose little ones. It's not because of God. God's design was never meant for this. We corrupt His design. And we are feeling that. But He doesn't leave us hopeless. In this Genesis 3:15, He tells us that I am going to send you somebody. I am going to send you that somebody will come and He will be a redeemer. And then you can go through the Old Testament and see all the hundreds and hundreds of prophecies pointing to the Messiah, maybe thousands pointing to Messiah and of Jesus Christ, pointing this hope that we're going to have. Adam and Eve were looking for that because they knew because they taste of that pleasure of not having to experience all the pain of this life, and they were looking for that. They were hoping it would immediately happen. That day, or a year from there, or years. But no, it didn't. Not until Jesus Christ came on sight. That is our Jesus, the birth. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into this world. One man, Adam, Eve. They're collectively one body. Death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all that we all have sinned. We all have sinned. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Is death. Here's this word again. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only way you get eternal life. There is no other way. You cannot receive eternal life through any Eastern mystic. You cannot get eternal life through a Hindu, Buddhist. You cannot get life no other way, eternal life through any other religion. There's only one true name, and His name is Jesus Christ, that you get eternal life in heaven. If you reject that, then you get hell. And that's the only way, and that's the only option. There is no in-between. Oh, how we want to straddle the fence and say there's an in-between. No. God said you're all in. He said if you're hot or cold. You're cold or you're hot. In between, I don't accept that in Revelation. He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. I will vomit you out of my mouth. Meaning you are cold or hot. If you are lukewarm, I will not tolerate you. I will vomit you. I will spew you. And there's no coming back from that. It doesn't say in Scripture that He takes in His own vomit. No. You see, it's that cross. Romans 5, 6 through 11 says this. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For sake of a righteous man one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from His wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved. We shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, on whom we have received what? That atonement. That atonement. Atonement's important. You know, I don't know if I've told this story before. Maybe have here. There was a judge in a town, and he had a son, and this son was in his teenager years, rebellious state. I can relate. I was in my teenager years. I was rebellious. Grew up in church. Went wild, hog wild. I guess you could use that way. Hog wild. Went every which way. Problem was, I went that way because nobody could disciple me. And discipleship in the church is lacking. Then, 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, I'm 41, so maybe 30, I don't know, 20 years ago, and it's worse now. That's why I'm always about discipleship, and you have questions, ask them. That's why I make myself available after church, during the week. If you're on Facebook, you can private message me. A lot of you guys have my phone number. You can call me. You can text me. Any questions you have, any doubts that you have, please ask them. I'm here for you. I wish a preacher in the pulpit would have said that one day when I was out there as a kid with questions running through my mind and nobody to answer them. So I went to that world, and guess what? Satan always has lies that looks like truth because I stepped right into them. But you have this judge, and he has this teenager, and this kid, he's just running everywhere. And the judge is warning him. His father said, "Hey, you're going to get in trouble. It's about to get real for you. You need to stop that. You need to turn away from that stuff and just start doing what you know what's right, because I've taught you that." And then one night, he had a little bit too much to drink. He ran into a car that had a family that died. And of course he goes, gets incarcerated, he's thrown into jail. He's waiting his trial to see his father, the judge. As the trial starts up, of course, they find him guilty. His blood level is high. He shouldn't have been driving that night. As the judge looks down, he has to sentence him. As the judge, his tears are pouring in his eyes, and he's looking down at his son. Probably can visualize when he was a baby, has cuddled him and loved on him now. He has to sentence him to death. He makes a sentence, then he steps down. He gives his son a hug. He says, "I'm taking this from you. I am going to take that sentence so you can live. And because I am, you need to understand, because I'm doing this, you're given an opportunity to turn from your life, to turn from what you're doing, turn from what you know that I taught you through the years of how to obey in this sense the law, but we to turn from your wickedness basically and turn to what's good." See, that's what God did for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. It is at the cross we really see this. You know, it's Easter passed, but You know, The Passion and Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion. And, you know, I know it has issues when it comes to certain things, but in entirety, it is a compelling movie to watch about the crucifixion. I don't know if you guys ever seen that. I mentioned that several times. I watch it once a year. It's a good reminder because we need that. Of what Jesus had to go through. They're like, oh, I can't watch that. Oh, it's too graphic. I guarantee it's not more graphic than half the garbage we put in our system watching day, especially all these Halloween movies out. That's garbage. It's no more graphic than those, and we don't have no problem watching that. But when it comes to this, we're like, oh, I can't see it. Oh, it's too much. We need to keep our eyes open and look at that and keep that as a reminder every day. The scourging, the whipping, that his flesh being tore, he being mocked, him being beaten, he being ridiculed, and then carrying that cross and then dying on that tree, that cross for us. The blood that was shed, it's because of that blood there would be no remission of sin. God made it easy for us to come where we're at today. If you look at the old sacrificial system, you go over there and you look at Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and you look all that. They had to give sacrifice and kill animals. He was the Lamb of God, or He is the Lamb of God that was given to us to take away the sins of the world, the sins at the very beginning in the Genesis. He was given to us the shedding of the blood that was shed for each and every one of us. And are we truly going to accept that and believe that and commit our lives to Him? Oh, that's our Jesus. That's my Jesus, the one that gave it all the grace and the mercy that was poured out for us, that grace that we do not deserve. That mercy we don't deserve. Oh, we deserve hell. Every one of us that has not accepted Him into our truly in our heart is sentenced to hell. That is our path. If we reject Jesus Christ. When we reject the crucifixion, we say, oh, that really didn't happen. I ain't going to accept that. That preacher's out of his mind. He can't prove any of that. I ain't going to listen to it. A rejection of the Word of God, which is more reliable, more valid, more proven than anything you can read in a textbook. And I will stand until they lock me up on that very position. Don't tell me the Word of God is not true. And I will tell you any history book you read is not true. I will tell you any medical journal you read is not true, because the Bible is more true than any of that. Without the Word of God, we wouldn't have none of that. Without Jesus Christ in our life, we'd have none of that. Without His influence on culture and the disciples and the spread of the Word of God, we wouldn't have none of that. Why? Because Adam and Eve, He could have stopped it right then and ended, and we would not exist. Amen. Oh, how we think we're more knowledgeable, that we are better, that we have all the answers. Only God has the answers. Have the resurrection, right? 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 says this: Moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, which in ye stand, the gospel by which also ye have saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all which I received, how that Christ once again died for our sins over and over, according to the Scriptures. Scripture, plural, meaning there's Scriptures upon Scriptures. And that He was buried, placed in that tomb, and He rose again on that third day, according to the Scripture, meaning Scripture upon Scripture shows He rose from the grave.
Oh. 1 Corinthians 15, the verse 55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks to God which give us victory through Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus. My beloved brother, be ye therefore unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's the resurrection. That tomb did not stay. Jesus did not stay in that tomb. He rose that third day. He was seen by many. He was seen by the disciples. And that gives us a picture of Jesus. Death, oh physical death, where is your sting? Death should have no way on our decision in life. This physical death is just what it is. In the end, we are appointed to death, to a physical death. And provided the rapture doesn't occur and he comes for the world, we will have a physical death. But what is most important, are you spiritually alive in Christ? Because there is a spiritual death that began at Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned against God. There is a spiritual death. And Jesus said, you don't have to have that spiritual death. For He is life. He is eternal. He said, you do not have to go to hell. Do we get what hell is? Do we understand what hell is? It's not a made up term. All the world will tell you that. Torment, torment, torment. Forever. Millions and millions of years, and then plus to infinity. Burning in flames. Your flesh melting from you, and you're still alive. All the missed pain, anything you experience in this life will not even compare to what hell is. We say in the South, this life is only just a cakewalk. I mean, it's easy compared to hell. It's a bed of roses compared to what hell is. Rejection leads to that path. Nobody. Jesus doesn't want nobody to go to that place. But when I read the scriptures, many will openly reject Jesus. See, you hear the birth, the death, and the resurrection. And a lot of preachers, they just, okay, there's salvation for you. That's it. No. That ain't it. See, when we come to Christ and we commit our lives to Him, we are now His. We are no longer for ourselves. Our desire is to do the work that God has for us in our life. You know, we looked at Ephesians 8 through 10. A lot of times they will skip verse 10. And I don't know if they do it on purpose. But that is part 8 through 9 and 10. That's whole part of it. So for we are His workmanship, created in Christ. Man, I'm getting long-winded. Created in Christ Jesus to good works that God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Meaning it is the works that God has designed for us to walk in. I mean, because we are saved, because works do not save us. It is the grace, it's the mercy of God in our lives that creates us to good works. And that works is the work of the Holy Spirit pouring in our lives. That is that love, that long-suffering, that goodness, that gentleness, right?
It's that works of the Holy Spirit that should be pouring out in our life. Oh, and because of that, we should have that other part of Philippians 12, that fear and trembling. And we talked about fear last week, and I posted on the website, fear of the Lord is important. And the spirit of fear, that is satanic. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, sound mind, right? And power. That is the love of God. That is the fear of God. That trembling in our soul, because we are the holy and righteous God. Oh, do we fear God? Sin. We should be okay with that. Because God is not okay with that. To walk in a life of sin perpetually with no repentance in your heart over it, no grieving of the Holy Spirit, there's something wrong with your heart. There is possibly you have never accepted Christ into your heart because your life is now His, and because what grieves Him should grieve us. Oh, where are we at today in the church of the fear of the Lord? Oh, we have lost that. We fear man. We fear them more than we fear God. Oh, we are supposed to be His disciple. Part of salvation is discipleship. They go together. Today, preachers tell you, oh, that's different. No, discipleship goes together. Goes together. I ain't going to be able to get to a lot of these scriptures I wrote down, but Luke 14, 25 through 33. And a bunch more on discipleship. I want to encourage you guys, when you're looking at discipleship, do a study on it. Then do a study on Christian, the word Christian in the Bible. You will see more verses on disciples than you will hear about Christian. Why? Because Christian and disciple, a true Christian is a true disciple. Disciple means a follower of Jesus. Meaning, if you are His, you will be following Him. And if you choose not to follow Him, by default, you're not His. And how do we follow Him? 1 Corinthians 15:31 says, Paul said, I die daily. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with you. Wherefore I live, yet not, but Christ lived in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, by the Son of God who loved me, who gave Himself for me. We are crucified, right? Matthew 24:13 said, but he that shall endure unto the end. He that endures to the end. No, not him saying, you know, it just got too hard, now I'm stepping away. No. But he or she that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. Mark 13:13 said, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, again, enduring to the end, the same shall be saved. Not, oh, I stopped. I don't want to do this no more. Oh, it's just too hard. I am going to walk away. If you truly have the Holy Spirit burning in your loins, He will not let you. But if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you will go your own way and you will keep going that path unless God says, wake up. And if you keep refusing, you will not go to heaven. I don't care how you want to try to make that work for you. It doesn't say that in Scripture. 2 Timothy 2:3 said, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus. I could keep on going on and on about enduring, 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 enduring. That is part of salvation, is enduring. Saying it's too hard and walking away, an option. In a sense, you do that, is option, I guess, rejection. You don't get heaven if you don't endure. Because over and over, endure to the end. You will be saved. Meaning, we work out our salvation, not in the sense of we can work it, sense that we endure. We step in what God has for us every day. In closing, I want to present you guys today Do you know my Jesus? Is he truly in your heart? When you walk out these doors today, do you let your light shine? Do you blend? Do you conform? I wasn't able to get into it, but if you look at the disciples in the Bible, did a lot of them conform to the world? No. Why should it be any different for us? I ain't talking about open rebellion. I'm talking about living a life that is honoring God. Living our life through Scripture. But the first thing is, are you truly a child of God? Have you truly committed and believed on that atonement? That blood that was shed? Do you truly believe in the resurrection? And what does that mean to you? It means that your life is no longer yours. You are now a disciple of Jesus, and you're supposed to go out there and make other disciples and seek others. And you don't have to say, oh, I'll invite you into a church, which is nice. You can, through the Word of God, right where you're at, you can lead somebody to Jesus by just right where. Don't invite them to church. Bring them to Jesus right where you're at. Maybe it's at Walmart, I don't know. Maybe it's at McDonald's, I don't know. Maybe it's at work. Lead them to Jesus right where you're at. We are supposed to be in the Scriptures. We should be on fire for God. Oh, we should have that fear in our heart because He is Almighty and we are not. Oh, our hearts should tremble before a holy and righteous God. Oh, I don't want to sin before you, God. Oh, I give it all to you. I don't care what it is. I die daily. I crucify myself before you. Oh, I deny myself. I pick up my cross. I'm going to follow you until the very end. Oh, is that mindset today? Are we countered? There is a cost to accepting Jesus. If you choose not to, that's on you. You choose not to accept what God has called you to do in your life. You choose not to be a disciple of Jesus, then you're not His. Period. They're not separate. And today I just want to say, do you know my Jesus? Are you a disciple? If you guys have any questions after the service, come and ask. I'm available online too. I want to encourage you, look at yourself. Look at your life. Don't think this world's going to get any better. It's not. For us, eventually will, if you are His. Time will increasingly get worse and worse. But that doesn't mean if we know who our Jesus is, who our God is, we still cling to that hope.
Yeah. Page 124.